Bear Down Bears fans, my God, what a day. And it is like, dog, as right before we recording this, more news coming out. Football is falling apart before our very eyes and rebuilding itself. Luke Getsy has been fired. We've got the press conference to react to after that with Flus. And of course, Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren also talked, want to get into some of his things. And Nick Saban's illustrious coaching career has come to an end. All that and more in today's episode, dog. I don't even know. Like, this is a crazy day of football today. And of course, I'm joined by Jason McKee, as always on a Wednesday. J-Mac, what's going on, brother? What are your thoughts,
man?
On let's start it off here. Let's give some praise to Coach Saban out here.
Yeah.
Just, and then we can get into all the Bears stuff we got to get into. But as somebody who sends young men to college, as somebody who's seen how many people Saban has sent to the NFL, what are your thoughts on the job that he's done as a college head coach?
Yeah, it goes without question. Just look at the track record of success year in and year out. You know, all the top recruits in the country wanting to go to play for Nick Saban, even though he has top recruits already there. And that shows the program that he's built. He's been able to groom and develop coaches. Every year we see an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator from that program go off to be head coaches. So he's done his job in terms of developing coaches. He developed players. Look at how many players from the Alabama program have gotten drafted, you know, that are having sustained success in the NFL, you know, being drafted in the first round, being drafted in later rounds, and having successful careers, you know, all a direct correlation to the development and the relationship that they've made and that they've gone through down there at Alabama. So it's definitely a tough day for college football. I think what Nick Saban's won 6 national championships there at Alabama.
Yeah, he's a dog.
I mean, that's crazy. You know what I mean? That's crazy. So it's, you know, college football is going to be different without Nick Saban in it. You know, I know there's people that hate Bama and there's some people that love Bama, but one thing you can't take away from Bama is, you know, the commitment to excellence that they've had. The track record they've had in terms of, you know, putting a track record and putting a successful team out there on the field, but also helping their players go on and have careers outside of football, college football. So, you know, salute to Alabama, man. It's going to be interesting to see who they get to take over that role and what happens to, you know, that roster and the recruiting class that they had coming in this year. You know, like I told you, Pat, before we got on the pod, I'm sure there's some college coaches on the phone right now, on one phone, 2 phones, 3 phones, you know, trying to call and say, hey, you staying in Alabama, you coming here? Or, you know, we got a spot for you. So, you know, I hope that they're able to retain their players. And that's a tough act to follow for the next coach, whoever takes that that mantle, you know, after Nick Saban held it for a long time.
You would think probably, right, like maybe a promotion from within. Yeah, I mean, maybe Bill O'Brien's still there, right? Maybe you go Bill O'Brien on that or something like that. Because I don't see like a newer head coach just being like, this is what I'm going to hitch my wagon to the first time. That'll ruin your whole career, dog. That'll throw everything
bro. Even when Nick Saban loses a game at Alabama, is he losing his touch? Is it like, dude lost one game, you know what I mean? Like, they go off. So
that's a tough job to take over, and especially when Saban's there, that's a tough one to some tough shoes to have to fill. But listen, we're here for the Bears. Just wanted to give praise to Saban. I love the career that he's had. Think he's done an amazing job. And listen, defensive linemen in the NFL will never be the same because so many of them have come from Alabama. Like so many of them have come through that program.
Did you mention, you know, Pete Carroll got fired as well, which is crazy. I don't think.
I didn't even think about that. It's been an insane day, Pete, bro. Carroll, like, man. Carroll ended up getting fired. What else is happening? It's been so Getsy, of course, getting fired. Like, it's been a wild day of football all the way around. And this is I guess for coaches, it's not a great day, right? But it's a football fan's dream for conversation.
But there's a thing too, right? And, you know, it's tough. Like, I, as a coach, I don't like to see coaches get fired because there are people, they have families. And like I said, like I've always said, we as fans don't see the amount of work that they put in on a daily basis. You know, time, not just, you know, coaching the game, but on the practice field, details and putting together game plans or trying to put together game plans and all that stuff, man. That's a lot of time and that they sacrifice. It's a lot of commitment to the team, the bonds they make, you know, with other coaches and players and stuff like that. So, you know, despite these coaches being let go, they have families and they built bonds with players within that locker room. And it hurts. It hurts to see that happen because regardless of what their track record was at their particular team, and I'll just talk about Getsy since we're talking about him.
Yeah.
You know, despite the ups and downs in terms of production we had offensively, Getsy, he has bonds with guys in that locker room. And I know guys in that locker room like Getsy. They're tied to Getsy. And I know it hurt to see him. It's going to hurt them to see him go because of that relationship they have for him that's bigger than him just being an offensive coordinator or their coach. You know what I mean? So I just say that to say that it's tough. You know what I mean? But as a football fan, you know, we want better. As a Bears fan, we want better, but also want the best for these coaches. And I hope they get opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, right? Listen, Getsy probably ends up, it's going to be weird, right? He's definitely going back to Green Bay, right? Like the double agent rumors are about to go crazy. But I definitely think that Luke Getsy probably ends up back with Matt LaFleur, trying to help Jordan Love along and continuing his coaching career there and probably end up getting another opportunity to be an OC somewhere else. The one thing that I will say is, you know, I'm glad that we're here as Bears fans, right? Because it shows me that there's at least a standard. It shows me that there's at least a standard of excellence that you do have to meet. All the negatives that I could say about Flus, all the down things that I could say about Flus, on the flip side of that, as a DC and as somebody who was in charge of his defense, right? He had the fifth best run defense in the NFL. They led the NFL in interceptions. They were one of the highest as far as pressuring the quarterback over the last seven games, right? He ran a team that was able to find its way over the last seven games. There were so many things that you saw go in the right direction when Flus was able to get the players. It makes sense to me. I don't like it, but it makes sense why you bring Flus back, right? And especially when we hear from Kevin Warren today, he's big on stability. He doesn't want you to turn away when things get tough. He doesn't want you not to continue to go down the path when it seems like you're making progress, but it doesn't seem like perfect progress at the perfect time, right? And he talked about being impatient. So I can get Matt Eberflus. Luke Getsy, I don't care if you're a Caleb Williams guy. I don't care if you're a Justin Fields guy. Dan Orlovsky, Chase Daniels, JT O'Sullivan, Jay Cutler, all of these guys that have evaluated film and have watched film for their entire lives, looked at Luke Getsy's system and just went, what the heck is he doing?
Yeah, yeah. And I think when you look at it, they showed you that they valued the chemistry, the continuity. You talked about stability, that word that we heard come up over and over again in this press conference. They valued that as opposed to, you know, bringing in a new coach, trying to build chemistry with him having to build chemistry and get to know his players because they feel like they are trending in the right direction. Right. Yeah. And they valued that over wins and loss records in terms of, you know, what Coach Flus has had since he's been there. He has a losing record as the head coach, but they value the possibility and potential of continuing to grow and continue to build. And, you know, we talked, Pose talked about that as well, like with Justin, and we got to talk about that. Like, you know, if you like that continuity and stability in terms of relationships that Pose has with his players, you know, he was able to right the ship. And when things were going bad, when we're on a losing streak and coaches were getting fired, he was able to maintain control of that locker room, maintain the chemistry, uphold the culture and the standard, and to go off and put together, you know, a good run the middle of the season. And it didn't end the way we wanted it to, but he was able to, like Paul said, right the ship and you know, not let things fall apart. And that just makes you wonder, like, with the situation of Justin Fields, right? And Paul's talked about that. When you have a locker room that's coming out verbally and saying that, hey, Justin Fields is our quarterback. You know, everybody, we've heard Jalen Johnson say that. We've heard DJ Moore say that.
Yeah.
I interviewed DeMarcus Walker after the Green Bay game, and he said, you know, the first thing he said when I asked him about Justin's play this year, he said Justin's our quarterback. You know, and Paul said, you know, that plays a factor. He hears it, and that does resonate with him. But he says he has to remove himself emotionally when he's going to make that decision. So that tells you right there how he feels about Justin as well. Yeah. But at the same time, he has to put on his GM hat and he has to remove himself emotionally from his bond with Justin and make the right decision to who's going to be in charge of leading this offense in terms of the quarterback position.
Yeah, we'll end up seeing. I thought he did a good job talking about it, right? He, like you mentioned, he brought up the actual human aspect of it. And the one thing that Ryan Poles has mentioned a ton of times is if you find the right person, he kept saying that if you find the right person, if you find guys that have the right mindset, if you find guys that have the right personality, you know that you're going to find players that more times than not are going to fit what you're trying to do. And I do think that's very important because sometimes we get so enamored with the talent, but then the talent comes in and it doesn't work well with the talent that you already have here because there's some kind of personality clash. And I get it, right? Like in the mindset of everyone, right? Oh, it doesn't matter. You got to do what you got to do. You got to make it. You got to work together with people you don't like. Yeah, but nobody wants to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Like nobody wants to build with that. So I thought it was very interesting that he's still taking the personality into account, but separating that when it does come to what could be available to him. And he's not blind to that. And I think that to me, when I look at some of the things that were said today in this press conference, Ryan Poles talked about kind of how he's approaching this offseason. When you heard what he said about, you know, being very methodical, taking his time, he's going to take this thing all the way to April when it comes down to trading Justin Fields or not, trading the first round pick or not. Does that make you feel like he's trying to like lull teams in, let's bring everybody in and we're going to figure this all out together? Or is this kind of like, my decision's already made and I just want to let y'all sweat?
No, I don't think he's made a decision. I think he really has a lot of evaluations to do, and it's going to start in-house with Justin. You've got to go back and look at the tape. You've got to look at how he's led this team, how he's led this offense, the situations he's been through in terms of coordinator, you know, the positions he was put in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think he's got to factor that in-house first and then go to the draft, in which he talked about. The biggest thing is, you see the skill set and you see the play of these quarterbacks on tape. You see them, you know, in a game-like environment. You know they can play, but at the same time, you got to know the person. And I think that's 100%. You've got to know the person. And he talked about playing quarterback here in Chicago. It's so different, right? Because it's such a big market. So when you're a quarterback here, he's like, you know, you've got to be tough mind. You got to be tough mentally, right? Because, hey, it's the media. We're the media now. They're going to be on you. They're going to be on you. There's going to be outside influences saying this about you. But can you block out the naysayers and remain focused at the task at hand?
So you got to let a naysayer know, bro. You got to let a naysayer know, bro.
But you got to have a special – I'm not going to say skill set, but you got to have a certain type of character to be a quarterback in a big market like Chicago. And that's bigger than, you know, your skill set. Because if you don't have the mindset and the perseverance mentally – or the mental toughness to overcome, like, what you're going to be asked to do, all the scrutiny that you may face, well, then if skill set doesn't matter because you're going to go out there on that field and you're going to suck because mentally you're broke down. And I think that's what his biggest evaluation is going to be when he starts evaluating these quarterbacks that could be possibilities of taking over the reins here in Chicago offensively. He's got to do that homework as well.
Yeah, and I think that what's going to be interesting here, and again, I talked about this, setting a standard immediately. I think that the Bears are setting a standard when Ryan Poles was asked about it, when Kevin Warren was asked about it. Kevin Warren, first off, he won me over in a press conference. I'm sorry, he did. I get it. Like, listen, I'm every now and then as a Bears fan, I'm a meathead fan, right? And guess what? You sit there and you give me the, I'm impatient. We got to start winning. We know what the standard is. We're going to go out there and execute it next season. I'm like, all right, which wall you need me to run through, sir? Yeah. I got it, right? Here for you. But I feel like now we're starting to see, and it started with Luke Getsy, that the standard was too low for what the offense was as a whole. I talked about all the highs of Matt Eberflus, right? Luke Getsy didn't have those. Bottom 27th overall offense in the NFL, bottom of the league passing offense, didn't see enough development for most people out of Justin Fields. I think, right, even Justin Fields fans, I'm a big Justin Fields fan. I've seen this guy develop. There are still things that I look at that he did in week four that he's doing in week 17, and I go, you got to do a little bit better than that, right? But how Matt Eberflus talked about it, do you feel like we could be talking about the standard being that Justin Fields met whatever the expectation was, because he said when he's looking for his in his next offensive play caller, a good offensive play caller knows how to adapt and adjust the scheme to their quarterback throughout the season. That quote to me says Luke Getsy refused to change who he was so that Justin Fields could work. Does that feel like a vote of confidence in we think Justin can play, but he didn't get put in great positions to do that?
100%. And we've talked about this all year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it goes back to when we were talking about, you know, we were questioning whether or not Getsy had open discussions with Justin about the game plan. You know, and we talked about it, Justin, do you like this play? Do you like what we're doing here in terms of the game plan? Do you feel like this is going to help you have success on Sunday? And I'm not saying that every offensive coordinator has to take all the advice from his players or his quarterback, but at the same time, if my quarterback is, and I'm not saying Justin went and did this, but if my quarterback's telling you, hey, I'm not comfortable with just dropping back, the routes are too deep, I'm trying to get the ball out quick, the receiver's got their back turned, and I have a coordinator that's not at least listening, you know, then we got a problem. We got a problem, because I'm telling you stuff that as your quarterback, I'm not comfortable with executing, but you're trying to force me to go out there on that football field and execute. And when it's not when we're failing to do so, and if you're not able to make change or bring about adjustments is the biggest word. If you can't adjust to your quarterback skill set, the same thing we've been saying all year long, Flus came out and said that he felt like the biggest things that were lacking in offense was adjustments, creativity, being innovative, right? We've seen the same things over and over again. We've seen a game plan week in and week out that had, you know, a quarterback sitting in the pocket who's shown you that, you know, he has his struggles when sitting in the pocket. You know, we've seen a game plan that didn't always accentuate his skill set, get him out of the pocket. A game plan that didn't really enable him to utilize his natural given ability. That's being able to affect the game with his legs as well. And, you know, that's a problem. And then not being able to make in-game adjustments at that, right? So let's even if you look at the last game, right, Green Bay, we know we're shorthanded. You know, we know we're struggling. We know we're down a starting center. We're down a starting guard. Protection sucks. But what do? We come out the second half, and Justin's still sitting in the pocket, you know, like a damn statue. Instead of getting him out on the move or maybe giving him an easy completion, you know what I'm saying, to get his confidence up or to get things going offensively, we keep doing the same thing. So when you have, you know, a coach that hasn't been able to make those adjustments all year, I mean, you see why the result of his results.
And,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, and it was a tough season to watch at times, and I know people wanted to make it. Listen, don't take our word for it, right? Take the people who were in the building's word for it. Ryan Poles said on ESPN 1000 he thought that the game plan and the scheme needed to be better. Matt Eberflus said during the season that they needed to be more explosive downfield. DJ Moore said during the season that they need to be more explosive downfield. I mean, everybody's called him out, and if you don't want to take Justin's word for it, take everybody else's word for it who's in the offense. You think if it was more of a Justin Fields issue that they would go, well, you know, we're getting these calls in here, but Justin's not taking advantage of it. Now, you can't just come out and say it, right? But they'd find a way to say it. We've seen that happen in the NFL. And I think that, you know, it was very telling when you heard what Matt Eberflus said, when you heard how Ryan Poles talked about it as well, on what this Chicago Bears team thought of the job that Luke Getsy was able to do. They didn't think that he executed well enough, and they're now moving on from it. I guess now the question is, why do they feel Matt Eberflus executed well
enough? Man, that's the thing I was going to ask you. Like, you know, and the thing that was confusing to me is, and don't get me wrong, I've told you I like Coach Flus. I think he's a really good coach. You know what I mean? Do I think he, and I've said it over and over again, does he have the type of personality that we want here in Chicago? I wouldn't say that, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I do think he's a good coach. But here's the thing, right? Coach Poles talked about being detailed, being in terms of evaluating everything, and you know, they're not going to leave no stone unturned. They're trying to get better. Well, you know, there's coaches out there who I feel like you should have maybe done your due diligence. Even if your gut says, hey, we're going to keep Flus. You know, like he said, he met with management, he met with Kevin Warren, and they came to that decision. Like, it was ultimately, you know, Ryan Poles a decision, but he met with Kevin Warren and they all say, hey, we want to keep Flus. But at the same time, you know, I just feel like you do your due diligence and maybe interview Coach Vrabel, Coach Harbaugh, you know what I'm saying? See what their feel is, you know, see what type of, you know, I don't know. I think you just got to do your due diligence. It's like you're going to evaluate these quarterbacks. Like,
yeah.
You got to evaluate the coaches that are available or that may become available if you're trying to really improve.
No, I'm with you 100%, and I feel like they didn't do that. And that is one thing. Ryan Poles talked about it today. He said he did not talk to Jim Harbaugh or anybody pertaining to looking at head coaching options outside of the building. And that, to me, I guess if there's anything that I may have an issue with or I may feel like, you know, where I want to see him do better is it kind of feels like that's almost what he did with the CJ Stroud situation, because you had the quarterback there. You knew I'm not looking for quarterbacks, because if you do your evaluation, or maybe he did and it just didn't come out the way that CJ Stroud has played. If you do your evaluation, CJ Stroud looks like he's going to be one of those generational talents in year one, and he's got his team in the playoffs, and we're sitting out here with the top draft pick yet again, looking around going, okay, is Justin Fields the answer? For me, with the coaching situation, there's no question. Mike Vrabel's a better coach than Matt Eberflus is. It's not even a question. Jim Harbaugh is a better coach than Matt Eberflus is. So if we're talking about upping the standard, and this is the standard, and we have to be above it, how does Matt Eberflus meet the standard? I'm fine with him being here. My producer over on The Breeze, he calls him Matt the Mechanic. Because he's like, he's a good dude. He's the dude you want taking care of your car. Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that you want. Yeah, I mean, like, he's not going to let you leave if your brakes are bad. You got 5% brake pads left. I can't let you drive this out of here. We got a rental for you. Don't worry. He's like, listen, he's a good dude. But, like, is that the guy that I want leading my franchise?
Right.
And that to me is a tough question, because I would love to have Vrabel. I would love to have Harbaugh. And I know that if they showed up, this franchise would win. I still don't know that about Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, because and like you said, those guys are proven. Harbaugh's won everywhere he's been.
Yeah,
Vrabel has a winning record as a head coach in this league. He's taken, you know, the Titans to the playoffs before. You know what I'm saying? And
suspect quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And you know, like you said, like, it's like, hey, you know, Coach Flus is.
If I can find that list, I saw that list of quarterbacks. With how many guys started. And I was just like, Mike Vrabel's a godsend and somebody needs to hire him. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you here's the thing, right? You have all those coaches with proven track records, right? And you look at, now we have Coach Flus. I think he's 10 and like 24 as a head coach.
Yeah.
2-10 in the division, you know, 3 blown 10-point fourth quarter leads. We saw that this year. And he was on a 14 game losing streak. You know what I'm saying? And then you look at Vrabel, look at his track record. You know, has it been great as of late? No, but he knows how to win in this league. He knows how to get to the playoffs. Coach Harbaugh, like I said, has won everywhere he's been. So, you know, why wouldn't you, you know, do your due diligence and meet with those guys to see, you know, get a feel for them? Are they a fit, you know, in terms of your organization, your locker room, stuff like that? You know, if you're going to be detailed and meticulous in evaluating everything, well, then why didn't you evaluate any other coach? That's kind of the big question.
Yeah. And it just feels like, right, like it feels like you haven't done your due diligence. And I guess that's the part that maybe irks me a little bit. Because even, right, like I think about the Raiders aren't bringing back Antonio Pierce, it doesn't sound like. Could Antonio Pierce work here? He's done an excellent job with a subpar roster in Oakland, right? Like it just felt like you committed to Flus because he was here and he was safe.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, I mean, you're right. And, you know, Antonio Pierce, I think they said is going to be talking to the Titans about that job. You know what I'm saying? When you have a guy like who bleeds silver and black, grew up in Compton, California, you know, was able to galvanize that locker room. The guys want to play for him. And he won his time being, he showed you he can win.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, hey, we're going to go outside of the building when we have something. But the biggest thing is, like with the Bears, like you have a coach in the building that doesn't have a winning record, that's never gone to the playoffs, that's 2-10 in your division. You know, it's tough. And like I said, it's hard. You know, I understand it's tough and you want to be safe. But at the same time, it's like it's not like the draft where you're looking at these quarterbacks and it's a crapshoot. Okay, nobody knew C.J. Stroud was going to be C.J. Stroud, and you know what I'm saying. Nobody knew he was going to project better than Bryce Young. If they sit there and tell you that, they're lying.
Nobody had him at that either.
They have first round grades and they have potential, but nobody knows whether or not these quarterbacks are going to hit their potential in year one, right? So it's an unproven commodity. You have a proven commodity in which you had two coaches out there that you didn't interview, Harbaugh, Vrabel. You know what I'm saying? You didn't even attempt to interview those guys, and they're proven winners. They're coaches that have proven that they can, you know, lead. They can be leaders of men in that locker room, but also put together, you know, winning organizations. They've proven that. You know, the quarterback, it's a crapshoot. Regardless on how great they're saying Caleb Williams is, how great Drake May looks, and all this other stuff, it's still a crapshoot because we don't know how their game's going to translate in the NFL.
Yeah. We'll see what it ends up being. I don't know, right, like where they go offensive coordinator now, defensive coordinator. The one thing about the staff that is sticking around, specifically Chris Morgan will stay, which I thought was very interesting, seeing as how we questioned offensive line play for a good chunk of the season. But Darnell Wright did play well. Tevin Jenkins looked really good. Maybe it's a conversation of talent, not a conversation of what was there. But there's one guy that will be staying per Ryan Poles that is not the quarterback. Unfortunately, he said that he won't be making that decision for a while, but he said Jalen Johnson's not going anywhere.
It's huge.
And that to me is the biggest, I guess the thing that makes you feel the best leaving this season with how Jalen Johnson has played. He's got to get back to the table. They got to get contract talks in place. Of course, Jalen has the franchise tag available if they wish to put him on that, but I would think they want to get a long-term deal done. What does that, to you, say about kind of the stability that they're talking about by keeping Jalen Johnson here?
100%. And I'll start with the locker room first, right? As players, we love to see our teammates get rewarded for their play.
Yeah,
you know, guys are getting rewarded and don't have big contributions, but Jalen Johnson's had a big contribution in terms of being on the field, but off the field as well. You know, Jalen Johnson's been one of the guys who have mentored Tyreek Stevenson, the Terrell Smith, you know, and a lot of those guys in that defensive back room. You know, we saw all training camp every time Tyreek Stevenson came off the field, where was he going? He was going over to Jalen Johnson, conversating, you know, learning what it takes to play at a high level, and then. You know, we questioned Jalen Johnson before the season. Oh, he only has one interception. Oh, he wants too much money. And he goes out there and proves himself.
I mean, he did. And halfway through the season, we were saying the same thing. And
he went out there and proved himself as being one of the elite corners. So he's earned that. And it's good to see that, you know, guys are being rewarded for what they've earned. And that goes a big way. That goes a long way in the locker room. Right, because if guys in the locker room seeing that people are being rewarded based upon their production, well, guess what? I'm gonna go out there and bust my ass because I know if I bust my behind here and I produce that, hey, I have a GM that's willing to pay me. Right, the same thing we saw with Cole Kmet. When Cole Kmet got paid, everybody was excited because one of their teammates got paid for his productivity. So guys in the locker room know if I produce, I have a GM who's going to be willing to pay me for my work. And that's huge for the Bears. So it's stability in terms of, you know, him being compensated, but it's also stability in terms of you're regaining a locker room guy. You're regaining a leader, you know, in that building. And that's something that you need because that's something that we haven't had, you know, for a long time. That chemistry is starting to starting to brew. And Poles talked about that. He talked about the O-line going with the D-line to have dinner and stuff like that. And you know, I've been a part of tight-knit locker rooms like that while I was here in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, when you guys care about each other, you know, more than just football players. Well, guess what? When you're on that field, you're going to give your all for that man next to you because you care about him. You know, he's like a family member to you. So that's how, you know, you win games. That's how.
Yeah, and I think that's the interesting part about this, right? We come out of a season where some garbage losses, right? Let's call them what they are. The Detroit loss, that was a horrible way to finish a game. You finished it in the worst possible way. The Broncos loss, horrible way to finish a game, worst possible way. Those are losses that break locker rooms. Those are losses that break the people that are in locker rooms, especially when you get to the Detroit game and you lose in a similar fashion than what you lost in before. Those are the times where, like, players start to look around and be like, man, coach don't know what he's talking about, bro. Man, coach ain't. He ain't. Yeah. He's not leading us in the right direction. Now, I still feel like there's a lot of improvement that needs to happen from a coaching aspect, but you saw them stay together. This is a very tight-knit locker room. They still want, they don't want Justin Fields to leave. This is not just small. This is not just saying the right thing, right? We hear that all the time. Guys got to say the right thing. They got to make sure that they're talking in the right way. So because the media is going to take it out of context. This ain't just them saying the right thing. Like the second a mic is put in front of some of these guys' faces, it's like, keep Fields, by the way. What's your question? Yeah, I mean, so like these guys are, and they've been that way with Jalen Johnson. With Jalen Johnson gets into the Pro Bowl, right? All his teammates are there. They're loving everything that he's able to do, how he's been able to get paid this season, right? Like this is a locker room that feels like one that could be heading towards high aspirations.
Yeah.
But you just got to continue to get those pieces in there. And I think taking Jalen Johnson out of that, and similarly to me, on the flip side, taking Justin Fields out of that could be something that definitely could fracture this locker room. I'm glad to know that at a minimum with Jalen Johnson right now, they look at it and say, we're not going to mess nothing up on the defensive side, especially bringing Flus back in a year where he's, yeah, I mean, listen, Ryan Poles can call it what he wants. That's the hot seat now. You got to go out and you got to win. You got to win 9+ games.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. So, you know, I tweeted out. And I said that, you know, how are we going to get an elite level offensive coordinator with a coach pretty much on a 1-year prove it deal? And and like you said, you have to win now. So if you get a coordinator, and I know Washington did the same thing with Eric Bieniemy, but guess what? What happened to Ron Rivera? Yeah. He's not there. So is Eric Bieniemy next in line to take that head coaching job? We don't know because they're going to be interviewing all kinds of people. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what assurance do you give a new offensive coordinator an elite level offensive coordinator?
And they're trying to find the GM.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to interview for that job.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you're an offensive coordinator, and I know there's some guys out there like, well, everybody, you know, as a coach, you want to keep evolving, right?
Yeah.
I mean, most of the coaches, your end game is to be a head coach. You know, some coaches, they just want to be position coaches. They just want to be coordinators and stuff like that. But if you're an offensive coordinator, and you're coming here, yeah, it's a great opportunity because you got a chance to come here and say, hey, you know what? I can rebuild. I can make this offense work. You know what I mean? I can put together a great offense. Now, you don't know what you're gonna have on the center yet, but I can make this work. But what incentive do you have? It's really gonna be like a 1-year thing because say if Flus doesn't succeed here, you're the offensive coordinator, Flus gets fired. Well, guess what? That new coach is bringing in a whole new staff. You ain't staying here. Unless you come in here and they make a little side deal with you and say, hey, we like you as a potential, you know, head coaching candidate. We want you as a coordinator this year. And if Flus fails out, then you have you'll be one of our top candidates to interview. And I can't see them making a side deal like that with the head coach there. That doesn't make sense.
You know, not one that you put this big of a vote of confidence in. I mean, like, I get it if it was like, I would get it if this was the second year of Flus winning 7 games in a row and they were like, we're going to bring him back, but with the mindset of, hey, listen, if it go bad, it's going to go bad.
I
could see not in a year where you're basically saying you've built upon this, you've improved a lot. We're not. Kevin Warren basically came out and I think he's a, as surprising as it is to me, I think he's a big reason why Flus is still here because he talked about not turning away too quick. He said with the Rams when we were in our second year when you got jewelry to bang on the table, that's all you got to say, really. Just like, listen, brother, I got one of these. Yeah, I mean, stop playing with me. But he brought up that championship like 4 times in the press conference. I was like, all right, we know you got it. Yeah, shout out to you. Big baller out here. But He basically said, right, in the second year, you know, we were sitting there, and when you're locked in, we didn't do enough. But when we took a step back, we said, okay, here are the places that we've had improvement at. Can that continue? And I think for the Bears, that's really the question. Coming into this season, do you have enough on this team that can continue to improve? And can you add enough to this team to accentuate those things that are going to improve? And that starts with the offensive coordinator. Because guess what? The number one place you got to improve at is the quarterback position one way or the other. Whether you're a Fields guy or you're a Williams guy, whatever it is, Justin Fields still has to improve. Yeah, if you go get Caleb Williams, he's got to be better.
Yeah, and that makes me, you know, with what you said too, it makes you wonder. Like, you know, we talk about the decision on Fields, and Bose talked about not making that decision until April, and we know they don't have to pick up his option until May, right? But does that make you wonder, you know, if we move on from Fields, did we turn that page too quickly? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Did we turn that page too quickly?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that makes you wonder, like, is, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, I know it's just a matter of us being in a good situation right now to get it right. And, yeah, you know, you just like with what we have in place, it's, you want to get this thing right. Like, whatever you do, you want to get it right. And we have the money, we have the draft capital, you are in a great position to get it right.
And the Bears are in a once in a lifetime position. I think this is a position. I said this yesterday with Courtney. This is a position that to me dictates the next 10 years of your franchise.
Yeah,
you have quarterback, you have coaching decisions now. I mean, and there's coaches available. The one thing, right, I talked with Briggs about this, mm-hmm, about the possibility of bringing Chico in as a DC because Chico is more aggressive. He talked about how Chico and Lovey kind of worked really well together because Lovey was more passive. Yeah. And Chico was more aggressive. And so when they would sit there and they would have their dialogue, you kind of got the perfect combination of both. Are you going to get that with Flus if he brings in a DC? Is he just going to promote somebody within, or does he go out and get a big name? You've got the opportunity at a minimum, because Flus wants to be the CEO, to build an elite staff here.
Yeah, you're going to have.
You got to go out, and to me, you got to go out, and you just got to – money shouldn't be the option, right? We shouldn't be talking about, well, the Bears really they got their new offensive coordinator for $2 million a year. Where we get him from? He was coached. It's Jason McKee. He was coaching high school a year ago, and he was on the sidelines. They said, "Don't you want to just switch headsets?"
Yeah, and he said that, you know. And I think what in terms of when they were talking about, you know, hiring an offensive coordinator, the traits that they were looking for, and Flus talked about, you know, that individual must be a great teacher, right? And we're not just talking about him teaching the players the scheme, right, and developing the players, right? He has to be a great teacher and teach his position coaches and make sure that they believe in him, and to make sure that they're teaching the scheme the way he wants it to be taught amongst their position groups. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the main things. And he said they got to be innovative. They got to be able to make adjustments, right? Adjustments in, hey, okay, you know, this system is set up for whatever quarterback we have under center, but hey, you know, we're playing Green Bay, and at halftime, they got to figure out, am I creative enough, or am I able to make in-game adjustments to overcome, you know, the failures that we had the first half of this game? Can we adjust, can I make adjustments to make us more successful in the second half of this game so we can put points on the board so that way we don't stall out? And Coach Fields talked about it in particular, everybody wants to run the ball, but what happens when you can't run the ball, right? Do I have a passing game, or can we be adequate enough in the passing game so that way, you know, we still have an offense on the field? Or do we just, you know, okay, we can't run, we can't do anything? No.
When you're looking at candidates right now, who's kind of – because Flu said he's got a short list, but who's a name that pops kind of to the top of your mind, man, initially, that you could get to possibly work in here?
I honestly don't know, but I know one thing. I just wanted to be – you know, I wanted to have I like what he said. I wanted to be a guy who has all those things right. A great teacher, being able to make in-game adjustments, being able to adjust your to your quarterback, being able to enhance his skill set. But I think it also has to be somebody that has a proven record of developing quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the main thing, right? You talk about you want to have somebody that can develop quarterbacks, but then you have people in here who have never done it, who don't have a track record of doing it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You talked about a mechanic, right? Flus being a mechanic. Well, hell, I'm not going to take my car to go get – I'm not going to take my car to Taco Bell to go pick up some tires, because, shit, they don't specialize in tires. You know what I mean?
The dude behind Taco Bell oftentimes does. No, never mind. Don't worry about that. Right. Don't worry about that. We all know that guy.
Right, man, but you got to have somebody – I need somebody in here that has a proven record of having a successful offense, but also has a great track record, right, of being able to develop quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's where it's been. That's where it starts. Like, if you're able to develop your quarterback and you have a good relationship with your quarterback, well, then hell, you know your quarterback, and you know he can run your scheme. And when he struggles at times, I've got to be able to make those adjustments so that way I can continue to accentuate the skill set that he has.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. I think Greg Roman to me immediately pops to mind, but are you going to be able to get him if Jim Harbaugh comes back to the NFL? He's got an MVP season with Lamar Jackson. A lot of us look at Lamar Jackson as what Justin Fields' archetype is kind of moving forward. I would another guy that I've thought of a lot is Cliff Kingsbury. I thought that, you know, the job he did with Kyler Murray, I thought he's a terrible leader as far as a head coach, but he can call plays. He can call plays left and right. And so could he be somebody who you can get in here? I believe head coach or OC at USC, I want to say right now. Can you get him back into the NFL as an offensive coordinator as well? I think the Bears have so many options ahead of them. But this is the one that you have to figure out most importantly right now and the quickest, because guess what? With the draft coming up, with the evaluation of Justin Fields, you need to find out what your priorities are heading into next season. Are your priorities, we're going into next year trying to fix and complete Justin Fields, or are your priorities, we need to develop a new young quarterback? And you need to have the OC in place for that decision to even be made.
100%, because you may get an OC, right, who interviews, and when they're talking, like, you know, it's tough, because if that OC comes in here, right, and he doesn't feel Justin Fields has potential to be successful, then you got to go a different direction. You know what I mean? They're all going to have to be on the same page. You know, does an OC come in here and say, you know what, I can work with Justin. Like, I can turn him around. You know, I can develop him. I can make him into that franchise quarterback that we want him to be.
Yeah.
Do you have an OC that can be able to make that transformation with Justin? Like, I don't know, but that OC's got to be in place, because he's going to be very influential in terms of, you know, what the Bears do with quarterback.
Yeah, we'll see what this team ends up doing, man. There was so much in this press conference. Kevin Warren also talked about some of the stadium things. And again, what I love about Kevin Warren and when he was talking is he's not going to lose. Mm-hmm. And I love that there's somebody in our organization that we have that mindset with, because, right, listen, no disrespect to Ted Phillips. He's settled. Right. He decided, you know, we want a new stadium. We don't feel like going through everything it's going to take to move. We'll just land a spaceship on top of old Soldier Field and call it new Soldier Field. Right. He's settled. Right. Yeah, we're going to take out 20,000 seats and make it one of the smaller stadiums in the NFL. What? Right. He's settled. Kevin Warren's not here to settle. Yeah. Kevin Warren's here to win, whether that's South parking lot, whether that's something he's talking about downtown. I don't even know how we would put a football stadium downtown. That'd be insane. Too. All I care about is parking where I'm going. That's all I care about. I shouldn't have to walk 6 miles. But when you hear that mindset from Kevin Warren from a stadium aspect, does that give you hope for the future of the Bears and how they're being led?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I just love the passion that Kevin Warren had, like in terms of Chicago. You know what I mean? So it's not like he's here to do a job, but you know, he's, like you said, he's not going to lose, right? He's going to do it to his fullest. He's going to do it to his fullest potential, because he has a bond like with Chicago. He said, I love Chicago. I love the people here. I live downtown. Like, he embodies himself with Chicago. And like you said, when you have somebody that has the confidence, that's going to get it right, that's going to find a way to make this happen. Like, there is no, there is no such thing as accepting failure. I'm not going to fail. I'm going to get it done. Like, it's very encouraging. And as a former player, you know, that's what I want. That's what I want to hear. You know, as a former player, as a fan, like, that's what you want to hear. And, you know, if they can make this thing happen downtown, I think it's great, because I love playing at Soldier Field because it was downtown, like the Chicago Bears. It was something about that vibe, that aura about playing Soldier Field, where the greats played, you know, the greats that played before me, and have an opportunity to play in the same stadium that they played in. But like you said, you've got to make it conducive to the fans. You got to make it conducive to, in terms of your earning potential. You know, the business side comes into effect. Are we maximizing our earning potential right now? No, we're not, because we look at, you know, Jerry Jones down there in Dallas, and you look at what he's able to do with that stadium when it's not
Jerry football. It's crazy, bro.
Jerry's getting paid. So, you know, there's a lot of factors, but I think, you know, obviously they got the right guy in charge of doing it, because, like I said before, he has a proven track record of doing this already. You're not bringing in somebody green who's talking about, you know, building a new stadium that hasn't done it. You have Kevin Warren, who's already done this.
Yeah.
Been through this road. He knows what it takes to get it done. So it's going to get done.
Yeah, 100%. I'm excited for what the future of the Bears is. I'm not going to lie. And today's press conference did not feel like very many of the end of the year press conferences have. Yeah. Right? Like even after losing in the playoffs, the end of the year press conference, right? When 2018 we lost, the end of the year press conference, and that was when I was really in the thick of, right, covering sports for a living and stuff like that, is like, the end of your press conference was like, hey, bro, y'all finna have a kicker battle? Like, what? Like, what? We about to do what? Right. Like, you knew the kicker sucked weeks ago. Like, what's going on? We're doing a kicker battle? And now it's like, it feels like even though this season, to me, you didn't live up to your expectations or you didn't exceed your expectations, it feels like there's still hope and still options. And to me, options make me feel like there's a possibility for the future. And then I look to the guys that are leading the team, right? I don't look at Ryan Poles the way I looked at Ryan Pace, where it's like, bro, you gave everything up and mortgaged the Bears' entire future for Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
And it's two quarterbacks that already look better than he do, right? And you look at, you know, like the second year after, right, like things get worse and it's just like, okay, you're not giving us any answers and you have no direction to go because you traded for Khalil Mack. You have no draft capital. You have no money. We're locked into this team going into next year. Maybe we can find a wide receiver somewhere, right? Like this is just like the options are available. Ryan Poles in 2 years has made some of the smartest decisions I've ever seen a GM make in my lifetime. And yeah, he's doing it for my franchise. And Kevin Warren came out today and basically was like, hey, we better start some winning.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, it's encouraging because now you're seeing that type of stability that we haven't had here in a long time.
Yeah.
You're seeing guys that are very competent at doing their job. And us as fans, right? Us, it's just human nature for us to want instant gratification. We want success now. We want it now. And like those guys said in this press conference, same thing that Kevin Warren said, Coach Poles, Coach Flew said, right? The one thing we heard was we're trying to build this the right way. You know, it's a long haul. It takes time. You know, you got to be patient. You know, we're going to get it done. So, you know, at the end of the day, you got to trust the powers that be to make the right decisions. But the good thing is, you know, we're in position to where either way you go, right? And I'll talk going back to the quarterback, but just either way you go, whether you keep Justin or you don't, you're in position to make a change for the better. And we just got to make sure that, hey, you know, whatever decision it is that they do their due diligence and make the right one. If they feel like Coach Flews is the right decision moving forward for next year, then, hey, that's where it's at right now without even, you know, looking at those other guys. They feel like Coach Flews, you know, has the heartbeat of the locker room. You know, he was able to galvanize the troops this year. And if they give him a better offensive coordinator, things will be different. You know, we look at a three-game stretch. You look at those three losses we had, the first Detroit game, the Denver game, and the Cleveland game. Hell, if a play here or there goes a different way in that fourth quarter, well, shoot, we're looking at a 10-win football team.
But we talk about playoffs.
Right. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about being in the wild card this weekend. We finna have, you know, Bears playoff parties. You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, we're so close, you know what I mean? But almost doesn't count. But it's just a sigh of relief to be closer than where we've been in the past going into this offseason. It's encouraging. We're not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. I'm encouraged.
I'm encouraged. That's a great way to put it. I'm not satisfied. I'm encouraged. And I think that the Bears are, I do think they're going in the right direction and they're making the tough decisions that put them in the right direction. I don't agree with all the decisions, but like I said, over on the Breeze, I trust Ryan Poles. And you know what? If you trust Ryan Poles, it's not based on him making the decisions I want him to make. It's based on him making the decisions that are best for the Chicago Bears. Because I wanted him to trade with Chase Claypool. So I was wrong.
Well, at least he took ownership of that.
Hey, said it today. He said I was depressed halfway through the season on a trade that did not work.
Hey, but let me ask you this though, Pat. What was your when he came out and they asked him, hey, you know, you didn't think about talking to Coach Harbaugh? And he's like, no. Like, what was your reaction? Honestly, I was like,
bro, no, like, it was, like, it was, hey. shout out Courtney. Courtney is the best Chicago Bears beat reporter in the city. Shout out to Courtney Cronin. We're so blessed to have her as a part of the Bears podcast family, because she said, Matt, I'm sorry about the awkwardness of this conversation, but hey, why'd y'all keep him?
Right. Look him off. Hey, look him off like she was looking off. She looked him off like she's looking off of safety and cover too. She looked at flues. Hey, she looked at flues. Hey, sorry about this. I ain't going here. I'm gonna go to my second read. Bam, and look.
Fired
a question in there, man.
Like, Courtney coming with the haymakers from the top rope, dog. I was dying. I thought, you know what it was though. It showed me that there's somebody that's willing to ask questions in the building, and it also shows me that maybe there's a little bit of a different vibe, because I do believe that there were people that used to be willing to ask those tough questions.
Yeah,
and they don't get to go to the building anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Because the previous regime, whatever it was like, oh, that was a little mean. That was a little mean spirited. Trying to make us look bad? Or you not trying? Yeah. I mean, like that speaks to some growth as well. Like Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles can put on a big boy pants and have tough conversations in front of people. Like I loved how Poles answered it. He said, I never looked. And I thought he did. When you look at a lot of leadership things, he did a great job. But I love the fact that she just asked the question. I feel like we don't get enough of that throughout the season. Bears fans in the comments be like, why are we asking him about what color shoes he's wearing?
Right. And I'm not gonna say any names. And you know, we talked about that.
Hey, we've been in there. Yeah, I mean,
we talked about that before.
It's all love to everybody in that room, but
yeah, for sure.
I know who's asking that question.
You write it down before you went in there, like a
off the cuff. Sometimes when you do it. And you do this and you make that happen.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we're having fun, man. We're excited for this offseason, as you can tell. Me and J-Mac can't wait to keep breaking all of this down with you guys every single week. Stay tuned in with us and locked in with us over here on the Chicago Bears podcast. Got Courtney Cronin on tomorrow. Cannot wait to ask her about the no-look question. That was an elite question.
Shall I say this? It's the no look looking off cover two.
She was looking off the safety.
She was looking at that near safety. Damn, my first read's not there. She said, hey, you know, Coach Flus, don't feel awkward. Bam, let me go to Poles. And why did you hire? Like, and fire that question in there, man. Like, what I'm talking about, quarterback Courtney.
Hey, I love it, man. I love it. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Big Bear Don, let us know how you guys felt about the press conference in the comments below. We'll be down to talk with you as well. As always, it's your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again to continue watching the Chicago Bears content. Make sure you guys are clicking the links on the screen and checking the links in the description below. It's for Jason McKee. I'm Pat the Designer. Bear Down. Peace. I had a stroke there at the end. I don't know what that was. That was tough. I don't know what that was. Yeah, peace.